everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has great things in store for his people who love him, who watch over their word to and do the things that is godly. There's no reason for the things of darkness. And it's important to speak words of life and act on them. We control our destiny by our words. And we need to speak words of life only. It's not a pressure, though. It's just the way of life. The things of God is not... I learned that as I spent time in the presence of the Lord, I learned not to look at things as a labor. Nothing of God is a labor. We the work that we do for God is a joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Everything I do for him is a blessing. And I want to do whatever God wants me to do. And I want to do it well. And that's not wrong. That's good. And I want my words to be life. If I want Jesus to come back and rapture me, that's a blessing that I can't give myself. I understand that he wants to do good things for us, and I want to do good things for him. I'm so thankful that he made me in the first place. Then he watched over me when I was in darkness. Then he saved me and forgave me and worked with me. And I'm very thankful for it. And all the people who helped me to learn to get to points of life. You know, in life, you see things the way you do until you see more light. And everybody who contributed to me receiving more light, I thank God for them. You know, and I see the brilliance, not just the privilege, but the brilliance in all the mighty works of God. And I thank God for all the people he raised up to warn us about things of darkness. It's a shame that darkness exists in the first place. God made everything right and holy. And, you know, there are those that wanted what they were not given. And God gave them not only everything to enjoy, but the potential to enjoy even things that didn't exist. And so whatever you can conceive in your mind, there's a way to make it. You know, there was at one time men wanted to fly. And they did all kind of things to try to fly. And then somebody found the secret. They made an airplane. And there are probably more than one person that invented flight. But the Wright brothers got the credit for it. And they were the first to fly. And they got their machine to work. Now, once people do something, then other people are going to see it and be inspired. They won't think it's stupid, and they'll try different things. Somebody made a helicopter, then somebody made a rocket. And then they, you know, so on and so forth. So there are possibilities out there that we haven't tapped into yet, and we can do it all in good time. And anything you want, God can cause that. There's no reason for darkness. There's no reason for greed. He gave us the right to enjoy life. He gave us, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. It will be done. You don't have to covet what somebody else has. It doesn't have to happen. But yet, people do covet what they don't have. They want what other people have. They want to take something. And they can't rest until there's no peace to the wicked. They don't have peace. It's not a thing. They don't have a definition for the kind of peace that we enjoy. And the only way to know about it is to love God from the heart. And live according to his word. Then you have fellowship. Peace is fellowship with God. That's the definition that he gave. And it fits because our peace, when you're in his presence, it's not like anything in the world. And I'm not just doing things so that God will love me. That's a standard. He loves me anyway. And I don't do things for promotion purposes, to make myself look good, better than I do. That's irrelevant. Whatever I do for God, hear me good, whatever I do for God, it's a grace. He enabled me to do it. But I understand full well that I'm on the stage right now. Isaiah used to be on the stage of the earth. Elijah used to be on the stage of the earth. And they were faithful. Jesus used to walk the earth, and he was faithful. Now it's my turn. I'm on the scene now. If I can yield myself to God, he can do anything that's necessary through me. And he'll make the difference. All I have to do is continue to be faithful and yield to him. And I thank God for that. I don't ever want to stop. I don't want to stop short. I don't want to get sidetracked. There's no reason for darkness when God has given us all great things to enjoy. And whatever we need, he can cause us, he can make the difference through us. That's why I said the other day that people are looking for a great revival, but it's here. It's already happening. If you want to get in on it, you just have to yield to the Lord. I don't know another way to do it, because it takes him. He started this thing. It's not just the revival, though. It's an awakening for some. It's promotion for others. It's reviving for those who died. They were in the light, then they went back to darkness. Now they're being revived. Those that want to come out of it. People that want to get away from the lukewarm lifestyle. Now the lukewarm lifestyle, it sees things totally different. It looks at life like, well, I guess I better go pray. Like they're finna go stack bricks. Or like they're gonna go and rake the yard or something. It's a labor. But to me, the things of God is greater and relevant. And it's every time I learn something, it's like I'm being refreshed. Once God give me revelation, then I go and meditate on it and think about it. And I want it to be a part of me. See, the word, one thing I learned from the Lord is that when you draw near to him, he draw near to you. When you receive his word, if you receive it in your heart, it becomes part of you. It gets in your system. It gets in your speech. It gets in your activity. It's the way you conduct your life. And you speak the words of life and it works. You don't have to make yourself do this and that. You just fill your heart with the word and it flows. It happens. That's how the Lord trained me, and it works, and I thank God for it. Nevertheless, every time he give me revelation, understanding, things that's new to me, now it's up to me to receive it and act on it. And so when I do so, it works. It always exceeds my expectations, and I want more of it. I want to do things God's way. Now, with that being said, when you look at your life and, you know, and the limitations that do exist, you're really not limited if you can yield to the Lord, because he can make the difference. It's just like our authority. We believe on Jesus Christ. He gave us his word. So because we believe on him, he gave us authority. Because we're going to face what he faced. So he gave us his authorities so that we can do things that need to be done. And we do it in his name. But guess what? Our authority is not limited. You don't have to be in the same room with a person or with whatever's going on and you take an authority of. You don't have to be in the same space for you to take authority. If you know about it, however you find out about it, you can take authority of the situation wherever you are, from wherever you are. In other words, if you are watching the news and you find out that somebody got kidnapped, the person that got kidnapped has angels all around them. They're not active because they probably don't know God. Or they may not realize that, that they, even if they do know God, they may not know about authority. But if the strong can bear the infirmities of the weak, all you got to do is say, Satan, you can't kill them and you can't hurt them in Jesus' name. And you can dispatch angels around that person and they will live. You can pray for their life. These are things that I have done. And most Christians won't do it because they don't think that it'll work for them. Because of poor training. But if you receive, if you begin, even Christians that have operated in authority, they may think it's too big. Who said it was too big? What scripture said that any situation you face is too big for you to use Jesus' name and undo what Satan have done? There isn't one. Because God didn't give us limitation. He gave us his word. He gave us his doctrine. And if we begin to use it and operate in it, we will learn that it works. And it works good. Like I did. And I admit, I was very surprised. There were times I was very surprised. I had to regroup. I had to process it. It worked. It worked in front of me. I took authority. It worked. Then I had to receive what happened. So that's why I say you have to, when you follow God, it's different than what others may, you know, it's just different. If you're used to the darkness of this world, there are so many limitations. But if you do it God's way, there are no limitations. And you just have to get used to the fact that you are not limited. And you have to get used to the fact that, hey, I can do this. I can do what God said do. I don't have to give in and give up or give out. I don't have to give in to situations. Even when somebody died. Now, many Christians have raised the dead. Not just Jesus, but many Christians have helped people come back through prayer. Now, when a person sees the kingdom of God, they may not want to come back. That's up to, their will gets involved. So, you have to, you know, understand that sometimes a person's will. And if they go into hell, you just got to fight the good fight to get them back. And you can win. What I'm saying is there are no limits. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into every victory. If he tell you to stop praying or let it go, and I've had him to do that for me, there's a wisdom because of that. And okay, I say, okay, Lord, I put it in your hands. I stop. But if he don't stop me, I keep going. So we're not limited. And I had to let that demon fall off my life. All things that's not of God, it comes from the wicked. And you don't have to allow anything to dictate how you are going to conduct your life. And same thing with our ministries. Whatever God give us to do, make it happen. Make sure it happen. And don't let anything stop you. Just the guidance of God. Do what he say and be done with it. With God, all things are possible. And when you look at what he can do through you, you see greater things. The Lord has to train us for some things and some abilities that we do. We already got the ability. But doubts, fears, unbelief, lack of experience can be a terrible distraction. And it can cause us to look at the problem more than the problem solved. But when you spend time in his presence, you stop seeing giants. David was in, it was his custom to worship God. And when you go in God's presence, you see things totally different than people that don't go in God's presence. Even people that's been trained in the Word, they know they, you can have knowledge of the Word, of the Word of God. There's no substitute for training in the Word of God. When you, when you're in His presence and you're receiving the Word of God, then limitations fall off your life. Now, my pastor said, long, he said it another way. He said, when you study the Word, when you fill your heart with the Word, demons fall off your life. Well, limitations fall off your life too. You find out that you're not limited anymore, and you can live without limitations. Now, I learned this by obeying God and following Him and learning His ways, learning His Word. And then the limitations just, it's like it's not a thing anymore. See, we know the scripture, with God, all things are possible to those who believe. And it's true. That's the kind of thing that I learned as I followed God. Now, I always talk about following God. That's because you're always being enhanced. You're not just doing what everybody else is doing, which is, people are doing great things. And tradition, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of people that were traditional. But see, in God's house, the king, it's a progressive kingdom. God is always in motion doing things. And as people grow and develop, God entrusts you with more knowledge and abilities. It's not that you don't, you're not, you, we are, as Christians, we're in the kingdom of God and we have access to everything. But we have to be aware of it. We have to become skilled in using the things of God. When you follow God, you become enhanced in every way of life, that you receive His Word and practice it. And the Holy Spirit will alert you to abilities that you already possess. Now, I put it this way. I like illustrations. If somebody starts walking on water, other people will start walking on water. This is why. If somebody see it, they'll stop thinking it's stupid to attempt it. And it'll probably be the teenagers that'll do it first. It'll probably be the teenagers that'll do it first. Maybe even the children. So when you, the way the Lord taught me, He builds on a foundation. First of all, the love of God has to be in place. You have to be stable. God never did anything when there was an idol involved. They had to, Gideon had to tear his idol, his dad's idols down, because the mighty work that God was going to do through Gideon, he was making a statement. He couldn't do it with their idol standing up, because the people would say, oh, the idol did it. They were so deceived and ready to run with the world. See, the world got to get out of your system. Limitations come from the world. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There are so many Christians in heaven, they wish they could come back and do what they live with the knowledge they found out about, even though they don't want to leave heaven. But they would love to be in your place with the knowledge that they've attained. Well, guess what? You can attain that knowledge in prayer. See, following God is not doing what a man suggests. It's doing what God gives. It's living the life that God is ready to present you with. It's taking limitations off your life and putting His miraculous abilities into your life. But first, there can be no darkness. And sometimes people are educated enough, they're smart enough, they love God enough, but they, sometimes people don't get rid of things that's holding them back. As we learn to do things God's way, we begin to do things. We see, every time the Lord train you and show you something, if you pay attention and receive what He's saying, you're gaining abilities in Him. And this is the thing. Everybody can do this. But the way He taught me is that everything that holds people back, the darkness, the idolatry, the lust, greed, pride, those are the kind of things that they have to be extinguished out of your life. Then God can put His glorious ways on top of your life. This is why I said earlier, if a person starts walking on water in the sight of others, other people will begin to do it. Because they see it, they'll say, hey, that's not stupid, I can do it too. And it'll probably be the teenagers and the children that'll start first. When they start doing it, then young adults will try it. And then eventually older adults will try it. They've been, see, people that's been in the world longer, it'll take more, they have to overcome more darkness to get to the point. In other words, a child or a teenager, when they know that the things of God are possible, they run with it. This is not, this a, they don't have the limitations. They don't have the, as much worldly limitations as people that has that have lived in, according to the world longer. The longer you live in doubt and unbelief, the harder it is to, the more challenging it is to come out of it. Unless you receive more of the Word of God to undo it. Now, a lot of things that I learned, I was a young man. I got saved at the age of 19. And I started seeking the Lord. I broke through the barrier that I learned that miracles would happen. I remember when the first time I seen somebody get healed, a man was having a heart attack, and I was they were having a house church meeting that Saturday morning. They used to meet every Saturday morning and have prayer and just devotion to God and. And somebody might speak at Blunny Ruff's house, and his wife was a minister, and his and Keithan's uncle had a heart attack. I'm like, and nobody called the ambulance. They just gathered around in prayer, and then he stopped having a heart attack. And Miss Ruff said, give him something to eat. And they gave him something to eat. And nobody called that. And I'm like, don't they need to call the doctor? And I had just gotten saved, filled with the Holy Spirit at their house recently at that time. I received a baptism of the Holy Spirit one Friday night. And I went back for service. It was a few weeks after that. So I'm young in the Holy Spirit. And I had heard about miracles, but never experienced one. This was the first time I remember experiencing a miracle, something of that magnitude. Now, I ate a honeydew melon when I was a kid. I would have been about 10, 11 years old. And when I used to eat honeydew melons, my throat would feel scratchy. Kind of irritated, but scratchy. But not bad, just scratchy. I don't know why. And my cousin, I said, my throat feel funny after I ate that melon. And he laid his hands on me in the name of Jesus. He said, Lord, heal him in Jesus' name. And immediately my throat stopped feeling scratchy. Now, that's the first time I experienced the power of God. Never forgot it. Never will. The second thing was when I saw that man having a heart attack. And they gathered around and prayed for him, never called the paramedics. And they acted like it was normal. The way that they did it, it's like that's what you do. You know, they didn't call the doctor, they just gathered around and prayed in faith, and the man was all right. And a few years ago, now this was way back in the 80s, and a few years ago I ran into somebody that knew them, and he's still alive, you know. Back then, you know, 5 years ago, he was still living. So he did fine. But nevertheless, when you have to get used to the power of God. Well, guess what? God is already used to it. We just got to get on board. For us to get on board with what he's doing, and just like it was, I broke barriers to believe to be saved in the first place. Then I broke barriers to operate in faith. When I needed something. Then I broke barriers to receive miracles. I had to break barriers of doubt and unbelief. You know, my Methodist mind had, it became a Pentecostal mind. And then from the Pentecostal mind, I went into a worship mind. And when I started worshiping God and started drawing near to him, he showed me how to get to the point where we could dialogue. Now, I love God. I was very devoted to him. But when he says, I want you to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. When I did that, I had what I call word stamina. And when I go in his presence and worship, if he say something, I could catch it. I could receive it and talk to him without fainting, like I used to do. Now, the training. Now, I'm telling you what I did. And the Lord gave me instructions based on what I was able to carry out. Now, when he told me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night, I was finally at a point that I would obey him. I didn't know what was going to happen, and you never do until you do it. Well, what did God tell you to do personally? Now, what he told me to do, that worked for me. And I believe it'll work for anybody. But nevertheless, people are so varied. The Lord knows what to do to get you on board with, so that you won't be in pride, so that you won't be in greed, so that you won't be in lust. That's the world system. And so that you'll be stable in him. You'll get rid of the idolatrous problems that hold you back. Now, I can't tell a man how to do that. Even if I knew him personally, I still can't tell a person what they need. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. If you dedicate yourself to follow God, he'll do the rest. And he'll give you a perfect, and I mean perfect, format. He'll enhance all the strengths you have, and you'll use those strengths to get rid of all the limitations you have, and then he'll school you in and show you what to do. And it'll be so simple, you'll wonder, why did I do this in the first place? Because you can't know it, because you don't know it. It's not in you to know it, but it's in him already. But to get us on board with what he's already doing, we have to make all the necessary adjustments so it won't confuse the people in the world. Now, if somebody start walking on water and they're lukewarm, well, that's going to be amazing to everybody. And they get an automatic stage. Whatever they put on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or TikTok, or whatever they do, people are going to, they're going to agree with them because they walked on water. They must be the handiwork of God. But if they love God sincerely, there won't be any casualties, because God judges people based on the word, not what somebody, some miracle worker, or what somebody has done miraculously. And it can cause good people to fall. It can cause deception in people that are weak. So when a preacher get in pride, remember something. Never forget this. The Lord take the wicked at his own devices. If you get in pride and won't repent, you just being set up for the kill. Now the Lord loves you. He'll help you. He'll try to help you get out of it. But if you die in pride, you're not going to heaven. And people that are lukewarm, they still in sin. If God said he's going to spit them out, that meant that, you know, that's not a person. My mental picture of lukewarm, a lukewarm Christian, used to be kind of like a person that's kind of lazy about the things of God. But that's not what it's talking about. If the Lord said he'll spit them out, that's not a person that's doing right, but they're not aggressive. See, the way we define things, scriptures will define things. A person that's on fire for God, we expect them to be like David, full of love, ready to do battle at any time, you know. But also a person that's on fire for God is like the woman that was looking for Jesus to come, the widow woman that was in the temple. She was on fire for God. Simon, that was looking for Jesus before he died, he was on fire for God. Peter, who was a fisherman, who dropped his net and followed Jesus, he was on fire for God. It's not always the most heroic person that's on fire for God, that's a hot Christian. on fire for God. A cold person is, you think that they're more like the Pharisees or somebody that's that just love the world, you know. But a lukewarm person, they're friends with the world enough to the point that they will betray God. Because you can't serve two masters. They're trying to serve two masters. And to me, the best representation of a lukewarm person is King Saul. Because he tried to javelin David. He went David hunting because of his pride that he would not repent of. That's lukewarm. He had a reference for God. He knew God. He sought prophets, but he tried to kill a man that was better than him and more dedicated. That's the kind of person God will spit out of his mouth. When I did more research, when, you know, sometimes the way we see things don't fit, and the way we interpret things don't fit. You have to get that kind of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. I asked the Lord for a reference of a person that was lukewarm and a person that was that he never knew. Jesus said, "Some will come to me." He said, "I never knew you." And I said, "What's the difference between a person you never knew and a person that's lukewarm?" And he was showing me Saul is like a lukewarm person, while Doeg was a person he never knew. Doeg never had a relationship with him, but he's the one who followed Saul's order to kill the 80 priests. So, you know, both are bad. But what we have in Christ, I got to close because we're out of time. We are not limited. We just got to drive out the Philistines. You got to drive out the Canaanites and receive the word of God. And your heart.